News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.07. With a strawberry moon out there somewhere. I don't know. Maybe you see it. Maybe you don't. What do I know? I'm stuck inside the studio. Dan and Dalton, and it's Tuesday. That means Quinn Hillier.
That does mean Quinn Hillier. He's on the line with us. You can find his work at quinnhillier.com. He also writes for The Advocate, and you'll find his work at NOLA.com. Good morning, Quinn.
Good morning, guys.
So plenty we could pick from to discuss this morning. There's been so much news here over these, just since we last talked, within the White House and outside of the White House. But the big topic right now, of course, are these riots in L.A., which began with some ICE raids last week, heading into the weekend. And they put the rap sheets out on a lot of these illegal aliens who were arrested. And these were exactly what we've heard Trump and team talk about so much, violent, criminal, illegal aliens who were criminals in addition to being here illegally. But L.A. is going to L.A., Quinn, and the riots, it started out as protests. Then we saw a little nighttime rioting, and then you get the National Guard called in by Trump, and then now Marines heading down there. Your thoughts on just the way this entire thing is playing out? Let's start from the beginning, and just these ICE raids in a sanctuary city, you expected a little bit of pushback.
Well, yes, and look, I have zero sympathy for most illegal aliens. There's the occasional one whose paperwork gets screwed up, who has tried to do the, has overstayed a visa, but has tried to do the right thing. Set those aside. Most illegal aliens, I don't have much sympathy for. They're breaking the law. Violent illegal aliens absolutely should be rounded up by ICE and sent packing very quickly. Sanctuary cities are outrageous. They are a direct violation of the law, and the officials that make them a sanctuary are actually breaking the law, and they should go to jail. So, all that said, I'm in general with rounding these folks up. You know, maybe there are different ways to do it that are slightly less dramatic, etc. I don't know. I got no sympathy for protests if they start inconveniencing others, if they block streets that keep ordinary citizens from driving down the street. I've got no sympathy. So that's all predicate for saying there are ways to handle this and there are not, and then there are illegitimate ways to handle this. Sending out the National Guard against the wishes of a governor, that's a borderline call. That's a very extreme response. There are specific safeguards against doing it. It's not always wrong. I'm not an expert in the minutia. That's borderline. I'm not sure Trump needed to do that, but maybe he did. And he would have good reason because of the defiance of the locals. Sending in the Marines, the active duty full-time military, which he did yesterday, even if they're not dealing with the protesters, but they're only guarding buildings, that's wrong. That's illegal. It's a direct violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, which says you cannot use full-time military for domestic law enforcement, unless there is an actual insurrection against the government itself, an attempt to overthrow the government, not just to resist, but to overthrow the government. And I guarantee you, if the shoe were on the other foot and Joe Biden or Barack Obama were using the Marines for domestic law enforcement, conservatives would be furious, would be fearful, would be yelling bloody murder. And so this is a very dangerous step that Trump has taken, even though I support his aims.
Yeah, but context matters too.
It does. Conservatives are for law and order, and this is certainly a case where
But we're afraid that law and order's gone out the window.
But also, and the needle that the administration's threading here, they've been very careful to say the Marines and the National Guard that they're not enforcing the law, Quinn, that they're just protecting first the ICE agents, who I don't know if the House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries basically calling for their doxing and to not let them get away with it. And you have all these liberals going after the ICE, more or less telling people to have your way with them. So you knew that I felt like ICE agents probably did need protection out there. And then you have those federal buildings, which I'm sure have a target on them from these protesters. So is that a violation of posse comitatus if the National Guard are out there to protect the buildings and the ICE agents, and then the Marines are technically out there to provide support to National Guard? Is that a violation? It doesn't seem like it.
Absolutely a violation. Not for the National Guard. There is a distinction between the National Guard, which can be federalized for certain reasons. That's the one where there's a borderline, and especially if what they're doing is only guarding federal agents and only guarding federal buildings, that seems, you know, maybe within reason for the National Guard. Not the Marines. The Marines, the use of the Marines, is a direct and unambiguous violation of the Posse Comitatus Act, which is like the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and like one or two others. It has almost quasi-constitutional status. Of course, there's no such thing as in the Constitution as quasi-constitutional, except that the courts have sort of given laws, you know, sort of super law, as you will, not quite constitutional. Well, Posse Comitatus is one of those, because if you can use military for domestic law enforcement, you are one very, 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 very narrow step away from authoritarianism, and that's not what we are about.
Do you think that Newsom, Bass, were acting in a way where they're in action because they were expecting Trump to probably do something? So they're sitting there just watching this happen. It appears that they were late in pulling the lever, much like they were with the fires themselves. Now you have cars on fire. But the inaction of the Democrats in power, and I'll get around to some of the other Democrat and what they're saying on MSNBC and such, but just the fact Trump's watching this and he's saying, if not me, nothing's going to happen here.
National Guard. Okay, again, I'm not sure it was quite time to call in the Guard, but I can understand it.
Thinking that they're not going to do it at all.
Okay, yes, exactly. That's why I'm saying maybe the National Guard it was right to federalize them despite Newsom not wanting to. That's a very close and a tough call, but I can understand that. I'm drawing the distinction between the Guard and the Marines, and so should every American, because I get, look, if you had a conservative governor defying some edict about, you know, forcing transgender ideology on parents or something like that in a Biden or an Obama administration, and Biden or Obama sent in the Marines, even if only to supposedly protect federal buildings or whatever, conservatives would rightly, absolutely rightly, be yelling to the rooftops, going to the courts, and I know a lot of conservatives who would, you know, start exercising their Second Amendment rights in a dangerous way. You do not want to do something that gives a precedent to the other side to break the law themselves and use the boot of repression against ordinary citizens. And that's the line that is being crossed when you send in not just the Guard, but the Marines.
All right, so let's talk about the Democrats' behavior in all of this. Chris Murphy from Connecticut is basically walking people up the line, like, keep it peaceful, but let's go out there and, you know, he's inviting more of the chaos. Hakeem Jeffries, he's inviting more of the chaos. And on it goes. I mean,
despicable. I agree with you.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's why I took so much time at the beginning to say that I don't have sympathy with the illegal aliens. I don't have sympathy with the local officials that are protecting the illegal aliens. I don't have sympathy with anybody whose protest in any way deprives rights of others. I have sympathy with the aims of President Trump, And I absolutely condemn Democratic officials who are trying to literally exacerbate the situation, as you say.
It's unreal.
Just drawing the line, don't use the Marines, don't use the Army, don't use the Air Force, whatever. Don't do it. Posse comitatus is crucial, and it is a crucial protection for all of us. You do not want to break the posse comitatus.
Yeah, and we can move on from this. Reading up on this, and I know a lot of people saying that, saw this. So Military Cooperation with Civilian Law Enforcement Agencies Act, tagged on in 1981 during some of these discussions on posse comitatus. This legislation permits the military to provide support to civilian law enforcement agencies, such as sharing equipment and facilities, training, and intelligence, provided that military personnel do not directly participate in law enforcement activities. So I wonder if that's wide enough there that as long as they're not arresting anyone or you know, putting anyone on the ground, that they're fine to be there.
They would be putting people, if they're protecting buildings and the building gets attacked, then they immediately are in action. There's a big distinction between providing intelligence and providing equipment such as jeeps or you know, armored vehicles. That's different from having personnel actually on the ground doing law enforcement. There is a bright line distinction.
If active duty military had been called up on January 6th, what do you think the reaction would have been to that?
That's the point. It would have been, and the National Guard should have been called up then, but active duty military, no, unless and until that the quasi-insurrection turned into an actual armed insurrection, a standing one against the actual government itself, which January 6th almost was, by the way.
So no on quasi-insurrections, but a yes then, on insurrections.
What?
So no, they can't be used on quasi-insurrections, but yes, if it had actually crossed the line into an armed insurrection, you're saying, January 6th.
Yes, that is the one exception that posse comitatus makes. I mean, you know, it doesn't use the word quasi, but the point is the Posse Comitatus Act is very clear that it's the overwhelming rule except for the exception. I mean, you know, if you've got the Confederate States trying to secede from the Union, then posse comitatus doesn't apply. But unless you have something like that's that serious, you can use the National Guard. Don't use the full-time active duty military. Mm-hmm. That's authoritarian.
You would think all Americans right now would be looking at this thing and thinking, well, we certainly want this to calm down.
Of course.
But I don't think a lot of Democrats are. I think they're sitting in the front row in the bleachers, leaning over the fence, waiting for something to go wrong, so they can have their
leverage,
their leverage and their argument.
I agree with, and maybe I should spend more time denouncing them. Except they're not in power. I'm looking long term. I don't want to give an Obama or a President Gavin Newsom, if he gets elected, I don't want to give him the precedent to do that to maybe causes that I do support.
I think if Gavin Newsom becomes president, I'm going to become Rosie's roommate in Ireland. I'm going to be.
I don't think Rosie's looking for a roommate, man. Or at least not one like you.
It is 8:20. We hit a lot of things right there just in the last 12 seconds. Dan and Dalton Orwick, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's him. And Quinn Hillier with QuinnHillier.com. And we'll get back with Quinn in just a moment. From Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Quinn Hillier, QuinnHillier.com, and all those papers over in New Orleans and Louisiana as well. Quinn, good morning again. And I know we had the passing of somebody that you had a lot of admiration for recently, huh?
Yeah, Frederick Forsyth, one of the great sort of spy thriller-type novelists in history. He wrote The Day of the Jackal, which was a an edge of your seat page turner, which they turned into a wonderful movie about an attempted assassination of Charles de Gaulle in France. Really good stuff. He wrote The Odessa File, also made into an excellent movie. I urge anybody to get his, you know, to watch the movies. They're good. But if, you know, but I'm all in favor of reading. Get a Frederick Forsyth novel. And this man actually served in British intelligence, which, of course, is one of the greatest in the world. So he served the Western world. He served the cause of freedom. And then he wrote a bunch of great novels. So hats off to the late Frederick Forsyth.
Yeah, one of the youngest ever Royal Air Force pilots. Went into spy work. Went into journalism. Knew a bunch of languages, more than 25 books, over 75 million copies. What a dude. Yeah, he kind of went under the radar for me. Awesome. I'm embarrassed I didn't know the guy, so I'll have to really look into it. Also, Quinn, a lot of state news, and we'll kind of tie a couple of stories together here with the current attorney general, who I don't know if you saw this. He's appealing again the congressional redistricting and trying to get this in front of the Supreme Court. But at the same time, he's getting ready to leave office, and you have some folks lining up to run for attorney general.
Yeah, well, first of all, I could spend a whole half hour on just how badly Attorney General Steve Marshall and the Solicitor General, I think his name's LaCour or something like that, have screwed up the whole redistricting matter. And now it means the state is probably going back into something called preclearance, which I don't have time to explain, except it's really bad for the state, and it's all his fault, and his appeal is just going to make things worse. It's an outrage. He's running for Senate. He should get, I will come right out and say, he should get defeated. It is, read Rob Hulbert about just how bad an attorney general Steve Marshall is.
Wow.
So.
Okay.
I'll leave that at that.
Yeah, and then as far as the people that are trying for his seat, kind of interesting that a member of the Alabama Supreme Court, and one we've actually talked about more than we normally do, state justices, because of that IVF ruling last year, but Supreme Court Justice Jay Mitchell, he's resigned from the Alabama Supreme Court, and he's running for that office that Marshall has.
One of the most bizarre things I've ever seen in politics, and I've met Jay Mitchell a couple of times. He's a nice guy. He's a smart guy. You have one of the top legal jobs in the entire state, and he's set until 2030 in that job, and he gives up the job. It's not like you're in Congress and you can run for governor while still holding your congressional seat. No, if you run for another seat while you're on the Supreme Court, you got to get off the Supreme Court. So he gives up one of the key jobs in this state, leaves it behind to enter a crowded primary for a what's basically a lesser job of attorney general. I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make any sense to me. And he's not well known enough that he's a prohibitive favorite. He does have a lot of money left over from his Supreme Court campaign that he can use for his campaign. But I just think it's really, really bizarre. He's originally from Mobile, he's a good guy. I just don't get it.
Yeah, maybe we'll get more insight. He'll start doing interviews. We'll figure out why he says he does that. And last thing, Quinn, we're wrapping it up here. Oakmont, U.S. Open, Scheffler, just going to keep it rolling. What are you seeing this weekend?
My semi-long shot pick, sneaky pick, I'm predicting Sepp Straka, went to high school in Valdosta, Georgia.
UGA, how about that dog? Okay, thank you, Quinn. Appreciate it, and we'll talk again in 1 week, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
All right, Quinn Hillier, quinnhillier.com, and now we turn it over to you. We have a lot of text to get to. 251-343-0106 as Mobile Mornings rolls on right after the news. Hey, thank you, Kane. 835 here on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. We're ripping right along to the text line here in just a minute. But first, let me tell you about the great folks at Tobias & Comer Law. It's a local personal injury law firm that's helped get fair compensation for hundreds, maybe thousands of people in our area because they've been working for decades from their office down on Dauphin Street. They'll help guide you through your case from the time you first pick up the phone or knock on the door there at Tobias & Comer Law, and they keep that communication going all the way through until it's all over. I know they're actually still very friendly with a lot of the clients they've had come through those doors because, well, they're friendly. They're local. They just, you end up liking them, and you want to know what's up with them after everything's said and done, because they actually care about you while they're taking care of your case. They don't pass that responsibility on to some lawyer who you've never met, who might not even be from the area, like you see with a lot of these billboards. Tobias and Comer Law, they are local and they do care about you. From car to boating accidents, defective products, to workplace accidents and maritime injuries, they've seen it all over there at Tobias and Comer Law. They have a great website full of useful information, tobiascomerlaw.com. And they have a phone number there also for a free consultation 24/7. That number is 251-432-5001, 251-432-5001. And that website, again, is tobiascomerlaw.com.
Vince on the text line says, wrong. Republicans begged for Obama and Biden to step in when Democrats were burning their cities down. That's one of the texts we've gotten this morning.
People begging Trump to step in with military force during the Summer of Love, right? And did that stretch into Biden? Now I'm so jumbled up. I guess it was. It was kind of in between 2020 into 2021. So you got they went away, right? When Biden came into office, we stopped seeing so many of the George Floyd BLM protests.
It kind of ran their course. Go ahead.
Well, you had so many of these riots that were going on there towards the middle to end of Trump's term. And I think he was really in a bind back then what to do about it, because he knew he would be crucified in the media. That was going to come regardless, but politically as well, depending on what show of force he had. But if you look at what the American people were asking for back then, was some law and order. And we weren't getting law and order.
No.
And it's the same thing over here in California. If the state officials, the elected officials in your state, won't enforce the law and order. Now, I guess some people could argue that's what you get. That's where you live. That's what you voted for. Live with it. But when it's a federal directive to get these illegal aliens out of here, and in this case, and in so many cases, the illegal aliens who are stealing and raping and murdering American citizens, and you have a city and a state, a governor in Newsom, who are just saying, no, we're going to let them stay out there. And if you try to come take them, we're going to fight you in the streets. Mm-hmm. That's basically what Newsom and Bass have been calling for, and even Hakeem Jeffries, the House Minority Leader. No, you're not going to come get these violent, illegal aliens out of the streets like you were elected to, because we're not going to let you. And I think Trump has learned some lessons from his first term, but he's also, in a way, you know, you see him push boundaries in so many different things here in this second term. What can the executive do? We're finding out one day after the next what the executive branch is allowed or isn't allowed to do. And so he's saying, hey, a lot of those people in California agree with me. They want to see this stopped, so I'm going to send them in. And I don't know if they're just protecting those federal buildings. So if the National Guard and Marines are there to protect the ICE agents, who even the House Minority Leader is calling for their heads, so you know that other people out there are looking for...
I mean, if the House Minority Leader is calling for their heads, what are the criminals doing?
Exactly. So are you saying they don't need to be protected? What if Newsom says, I'm not going to give any security to your ICE agents? So I think these moves make sense, and I think Trump knows what the American people want. And even if it is kind of constitutionally ambiguous, which I hear a lot of people saying that it directly violates the Constitution. Mm-hmm. Now you have the Trump administration saying, no, look, we're abiding by the law. These soldiers are going there as support. They will not be acting as law enforcement.
But you can be drawn into it.
But they could be drawn into it. So I don't know what. And Quinn said, well, yeah, what if someone attacks them and then they're in the fight and then you're using, I don't know how all that plays out, but I think politically it's a winner for Trump, this thing.
Well, I've heard that said, and this thing could go, especially considering the media coverage of it, we know where that's leaning, this thing could go wrong quick, too. You have so much going on here. You have people who could play the victim that were actually the instigator, but if they are harmed or killed, suddenly you got a kind of another George Floyd. You've got something on your hands that you have to handle almost PR-wise, even though in the light of day you're saying it's pretty plain. This guy was throwing the cocktail, then this happened, now he's brain dead or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, something like that could happen in an instant.
Yeah.
So if you have, when you have these physical confrontations, is it the National Guard? Is it local police? Is it the Marines? I think that that would make a big difference in considering who would be involved with a confrontation like that. I think that's just where that everyone needs to be careful. And also just like this inciting, not just Murphy, not just Jeffries, but so many on the left, council people in L.A. are inciting this sort of ramped up enthusiasm, I guess you could say. They keep walking, they keep talking them up to the line, like, hey, you don't want to hurt a cop or anything like that, mm-hmm. but go ahead and give them their money's worth. It seems what they're saying.
Yeah, give them the business.
Give them the business. And you, when you have the governor of your state, when you have the mayor of your city, when you have elected officials, it's just a bizarre world. And don't we really want to just see it come to an end? And I'll just say it again. I think a lot of people don't want to see it come to an end, or they want to see it end in a certain way. So, again, leverage is theirs.
And you have Newsom saying we have it under control, LAPD, oh, California Highway Patrol. But then you have the chief of LAPD saying, no, we're overwhelmed.
Well,
right
and
now.
He's you can see he's a political animal, too. He's careful. He's not, you know, he's standing there with Bass in the press conference. More than likely, a lady he's got a smidgen of regard for, right?
Yeah,
this
sure.
This guy has been in law enforcement his whole life, including in New York City, now twice in L.A. But he's working for that administration, so he can't just, he can't be...
he can't go directly against him.
No, right. He can't be like a Rudy back in New York in 1998 to mm-hmm. 2000, where he just cleaned everything up and said, y'all deal with that. Crime numbers went down, but that was a different time, a different administration, and a different mindset by the people.
All right, let's go to the text line. Ricky, they're using this protest to hide the dollar collapse. Thanks, as always, Ricky. Big Enos says, call it what it is, an invasion by a foreign force. Bring out the belt, feds, and end these quote-unquote protests. Any so-called American who supports the invaders is guilty of treason. That's from Big Enos. Angry Patriot, and Angry Patriot on one this morning. Let's see. Guarding is not law enforcement. It's physical security. And by the way, Trump recommended the arrest of Gruesome Newsom. Yes, yesterday. Well, Newsom asked for it first, and then Trump said, sure, I'd do it.
It was almost like in passing. You know, he's just, Deucey throws a question at him. He's like, yeah, I guess that wouldn't be a bad idea.
James this morning, considering that more than 60% of Americans can't read above the sixth grade level, expecting them to have the ability to discern National Guard versus the Marines will definitely fall short. And then sends a little political cartoon with the Indians and the Pilgrims, and says, stealing, raping, and murdering, huh? The depravity of your ancestors to put smallpox into the blankets handed to children on the Trail of Tears. What a joke this has become. Are you saying that we should allow the illegal aliens to steal, rape, and murder without punishment because of smallpox? You lost me there, James.
Well, you know,
are you saying what goes around comes around?
Yeah,
America.
I guess so. I mean, James. You know,
maybe I read that wrong. Maybe.
No, you read it right. You read it right.
Derek says Bass and Newsom are trying to create that situation. They are masters of the game. I'm not touching you. Oh, that old childhood game that I really hate right now. By the way,
I bet you do.
As a father of a 4 and a 6 year old, I'm not touching you. Except mine. You know, they do hit each other, and we're getting over that though, Dan. We're going to stop hitting each other soon. Gary says, tell Quinn the Trump hater is that the United States Marine Corps is, quote, the president's own, and the president of the United States can use the Marines without the act of Congress for 90 days for anything he wants. That's what Gary says. Mike says, posse, comma, shut up. So he was hitting Quinn with that. Let's see, Michael. During the 1992 L.A. riots, President George W. Bush mobilized the, I guess that would have been H.W., right? Mobilized the National Guard, U.S. Army, and U.S. Marines to stop the violent rioters from wrecking L.A. Quinn is a complete lying moron.
That wasn't in my report.
Gardner said January 6th had no armed participants. As Quinn, I brought up January 6th because he's saying unless there's an insurrection, you shouldn't bring up the active military. But all I've heard from anti-Trumpers in the left is that what happened on January 6th was an insurrection, but he said it was a quasi-insurrection, if you want to call it that, so that there was no need for the use of force from the military, that is. Marines are the ones who operate the equipment, is what this texter says, And we have a whole lot more here. Leo says, when Quinn starts talking, the radio is turned off. I'll check back in half an hour. So welcome back there, Leo. Vent says wrong. Oh, you read that one. Republicans begged.
I'm sorry. But last time, Marines were deployed to quell civil unrest. It was in 1992. So Marines were there in L.A.
For the Rodney King riots.
Yes. Yeah.
251-343-0106. Terry says, imagine hating a man so bad that you are willing to dishonor the celebration for soldiers who died for your freedoms. And that's in reference to the Army parade coming up this weekend on Flag Day and Trump's birthday.
250th anniversary of the United States Army is Saturday.
200,000 are expected to be there in D.C. for that. And, of course, there are people pushing back on that as well, saying that it's an authoritarian kind of event that Trump is hosting there by having the military on the streets. Terry also says, the problem with our perception of the Democrats' message on illegal immigration is the legacy news outlets and left-wing social media aren't reporting ICE is arresting criminals. They're making it seem like they're just snatching people off the street. So one of the key points about the troops in L.A. that everyone is ignoring is that the troops are not patrolling the streets. They are there to protect federal property.
You know, the good news about Morning Joe, maybe not as much with him, but almost anything and everything, MSNBC, CNN, they're not being viewed very much at all. Also, the trust in the media is at an all-time abysmal low. So when you watch these things going on, you watch these conversations, you see, watch conservatives play these conversations back, like stuff from The View or whatever, to make their point about how out of their mind people are on this side or that side. The fact is, that's fine for a show's sake, and we can do that from time to time too. But the media is not having the same effect on this America right now, and it's a good damn thing,
mm-hmm,
because they could really play a very bad role in all of this. They're trying, I would say, but the effect itself, because of the sheer numbers, it's like there was that woke thing, but now a lot of America is woke. They're woke in this way. They're woke like, oh, now I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now I see what you're doing to me or what you're trying to do to me. So I think that's the good news in all of this, is that most Americans, if you look at the polls, aren't buying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's never been more obvious than that clip that Sean was playing yesterday. And you have clip after clip from these last 4 days of the media, whether it's local TV there in L.A.
That was
or
local ABC,
media.
Right? That was a local guy?
ABC 7 in L.A., where he was saying, well, now that law enforcement is moving in, we'll have to watch and see what happens here between law enforcement and the protesters, because right now the protesters are just having fun watching cars burn.
Unreal.
And we'd hate for the law enforcement to move in and maybe make things violent. It's like, well, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I think most Americans, like you said, they see through that crap now, and they're like, no, there's cars burning right there. Of course law enforcement needs to move in.
Somewhere there was an audience for that was like, hey, I like what Ricky's doing there. Not Ricky, not our Ricky.
Well, but the audience is right here. They're listening to us, James. And I'm almost not a loss of words. I'll never be at a loss of words. But he's saying, yeah, exactly. What goes around comes around. Is he saying basically, it's what goes around comes around, because Americans now, we're getting these illegal aliens who are stealing and raping and murdering and doing all these terrible things. But because of smallpox 200, 300, 350 years ago that it's due. I just can't believe there's Americans that truly think that way.
Well, they're there and they're taught that. They're taught that. And you know, go to a history class at a university, go to a political science class at a university. You might be surprised by the level of that sort of thing that you're confronted with. And
Well, I'd just encourage James to maybe say that to someone whose family member has been killed or raped by an illegal alien.
And then duck. So it's like there are what country has this a history with no blemishes on it whatsoever? I mean, give me a break. I mean, you're trying to right all the wrongs that were done. I don't know exactly what the point is, James, but there's not a history out there of any given country that they can't point at and say, well, we kind of made, we did a bad one there. That wasn't the right thing to do. I don't know.
Yeah. Texter here, and we'll get the break here in a second. If the shoe was on the other foot, there would be open borders and no law and order. The National Guard killed those people that can't stay because the protesters were violent. Oh, at Kent State. The National Guard killed those people at Kent State because the protesters were violent. Randy from Foley says California should secede from the Union. We'll be much better off with Greenland as the 50th state. You know, politically maybe, but as far as resources and beautiful land and great access to the Pacific Ocean, California, obviously one of the most important, if not the most important state in the country. So don't think we'd be letting them go.
Tim, would we have to move the Dodgers to Greenland?
The Greenland Dodgers and Lakers. I guess it makes more sense, actually, up there. Tim says you don't wait until it escalates to the point they're burning buildings and stuff before you actually do anything. And Butterknife, I don't think we're getting what we're due, but we did pretty much commit genocide on the Indians. That's what it takes to make a country. We've turned to debating the old Indians versus pilgrims.
Gruesome debate. History. Straight ahead. 852, Dan and Dalton, good morning. Breaking news on Fox, a California labor leader has now been released, but he was charged with getting
obstructing.
In the way. Yeah, obstructing with the ICE officers. So, guy of some note in California. Show him coming out of jail with his head down.
No, a lot of labor leaders are happy about the deportations. They're seeing things look better for a lot of their union members, I think. At least that's what some of them have put out there. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show. He has some great guests on the way. Hour number one from Pathway Church, Travis Johnson. In hour number two, former State Senator Dick Brubaker joining the show. And in hour three, the chairman of the Alabama GOP, John Wall. And I'm sure they'll be talking a lot of state politics, especially once Dick Brubaker gets on the phone. And we've seen, you know, more and more people jump into some of these races, which for a lot of these are next year. We get the local races in August, which is just 2 months away. So we'll be voting in for mayor here in Mobile and in other municipalities, city council. But we're seeing names jump in for these statewide and national races next year. Congressman or former Congressman Mo Brooks, and I'm pretty sure he said this on Sean's show here recently as well, but that he's not actively looking to run for office. But if they don't put the right Republican in there to run for Senate, he might just have to jump in.
U.S. Senate.
Is what Mo Brooks is saying.
Okay.
Yeah. But remember,
for years he was Congressman up there.
And he ran for Senate. And he was the prohibitive favorite going in, and Katie Britt just absolutely crushed him once she ran. So I don't know if was he going to get more support if he runs again? I'm not sure because now, you know, at least then, and maybe things were changing. I guess Mo Brooks didn't really become anti-Trump until after all of that, right? Again, the timeline is kind of fuzzy for me.
Trump dropped him.
Trump dropped him, you're right, for Britt.
For Britt,
and that
right.
really left him gasping for air.
That's right.
That summer going into the election. But
it was 2020?
Yeah, that was that 2020? Yeah, would have been.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know if he's going to pick up any more support than he had then, so that'll be interesting to watch. I know Katie Britt did come out and talk about, you know, more or less she was just being as politically ambiguous as possible, but said, yeah, whoever wins that Senate seat that Tuberville's leaving will surely be a big assist in the Republican Senate and is going to be a tool for Trump, basically, is what she said.
Well, we'll see. Marshall's in. Now you have the guy from the Supreme Court who jumped in. We just talked about that with Quinn.
Well, he's jumping in for Attorney General. Marshall.
I'm sorry, that's right.
Is Attorney General. Senate, yeah.
So Marshall's running for the Senate, and I guess he's the biggest name right now at this point?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
But we'll see some big names jump in a number of these races as we keep going forward. 251-343-0106. That number works for the Jeff Poor Show. He's coming up.
And that mayor's race, you know, sooner than you think, it'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
Mobile mayor's race.
Right around the corner.
It is 8:59 with Dan and Dalton. See you in the morning beginning at 6 a.m.